Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you, healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.
The second reading is from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Peter and Pauline, for those stirring words. They're so powerful. Lord, we just hold in before you now. We just thank you for the message that you've laid on his heart this week. Lord, we just pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to receive those words, to make our lives transform, to be more like you, and to hear your voice better. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. I wonder if you know the logo, the image for Thy Kingdom Come. Some of you might even know that it started from an inspired photo of a loudspeaker grill on public transport. It's a combination, isn't it, of the white cross of Jesus at the centre and then circles spreading out from that. And I want to use that image just to illustrate what I think are our church priorities for 2021. And the first one is the cross of Jesus at the centre. I think it's really important that we hold on to Jesus. Our readings focus on Jesus. This is a unique feature of Christian faith, symbolised by the white cross in the centre of the image. All other religions tell you to follow a philosophy, a path to God, a way of behaving in the world. But Christianity alone is about a person, Jesus. Jesus didn't say, follow this path. He said, follow me. Now, if anybody else said that, you'd think they were arrogant, got above themselves. But Jesus said it, and it was just the plain truth. Because he alone is Son of Man, and Son of God, fully human and fully divine. He alone bridges the gap between God and mankind. So when Peter says in our first reading, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When Peter says that, he's not being arrogant, claiming that his idea is better than your idea or something. He's simply telling a unique and simple fact. This is how to be saved. And Jesus makes the same point in our gospel reading. Other human leaders are hired hands, but Jesus alone is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. As he put it, sheep in this pen and also other sheep in other pens elsewhere. So what I want to say is, hold on to Jesus, hold on for dear life, and don't give up. Other human leaders, maybe we can give up on, but Jesus is the one right at the center of the image. So the first priority, I think, is to hold on to Jesus. Read scripture, especially the Gospels. Pray to Jesus. Talk to him. Listen to his spirit within you and obey his word to you. If we're honest, this past year, I think the pandemic has been really tough, wearisome and tiresome. And some have dropped away. Helen Dunstan was telling us how hard it is for Raquel to hold on to faith in the midst of all the suffering. And you can probably all think of people who've dropped away, found it really difficult this year. But all through scripture, we're exhorted to persevere, to endure, to keep going, not to grow weary and lose heart, but to hold on. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to know and believe that you are the Holy One of God. So that's my first priority, if you like, the cross at the center, symbolizing Jesus. Don't give up. Hold on to Jesus. And my other two priorities are symbolized in the image by the circles that spread out, radiate out from the cross. And the first one is that we need to get online. Now, this is really practical now. In lockdown, it has been really tough, especially, I think, for businesses that depend on people gathering together, on numbers physically present. We all know how hotels and pubs and theatres, festivals and stadiums, how do you survive when gatherings are banned? Well, the answer they found, as much as possible, you reinvent yourself online, like those circles spreading out from the center in the image. And the businesses that have thrived are those that have managed to connect with people and do business at a distance. Even doctors are trying to book more telephone appointments and treat patients remotely. And gradually, people are getting used to this way of interacting. And some have begun to see some advantages in it. You don't have to travel and commute or rent office space. You can do your shopping and even your work in your leisure clothes, relaxed. And what about church? Well, some have said that they've really enjoyed worshipping with churches elsewhere, perhaps in London or even in America. And of course, we've had people joining in with our worship from elsewhere, from Copford or Suffolk or even Singapore, would you know? So as much as possible, I think we need to be available online. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And my last priority is also symbolized by the circle spreading out from the cross. And it's this: we need to reach out into the village community. I want to thank particularly Helen Suarez for last week's sermon, Taking Jesus Seriously. Do you remember Corrie ten Boom's sister, prompted to pray simply for a handkerchief? And then the mother as well, prompted to write to her son, telling him she loved him. Those were people listening to the Spirit and acting on it. And also you might remember Keith Rush, 2 weeks before that, speaking the Spirit's message to the church to open up. When we listen to these messages, we respond together as God's people. We're stronger collectively than we are as individuals. Jane and I were watching a Chris Packham nature program this week, and it was about birds flocking, you know, those starling murmurations and so on. And also fish in shoals and insects swarming and so on. And scientists have worked out that what they do is, first of all, they just pay attention to what's in front of them, the environment. And secondly, they follow and track their neighbours around them. And by doing that, the whole flock can react to opportunities and dangers. The whole group moves and responds as one body. And we realize that we can act like that as a church. We can respond as the body of Christ, reacting as one to the Spirit of God and to any dangers or threats that are around us. But as well as being the body of Christ together, in today's world, I think it's important to reach out purposefully to our local village community as well. I think that's become very obvious during the pandemic. It was true before COVID, wasn't it, that churches that loved their neighbours had a better reputation in the community. In the past year, though, people have felt the need for relationship even more than ever. And so we've seen people looking out for their neighbours, starting community action groups, food banks, shopping for each other, and making connections. And Yvonne's given us some great examples of that already. But what's really important is that we do that as Christians, that we reach out and love those around us, our neighbours and friends, but that we bring the light of Christ to them. We take Jesus to our community. The best examples are when Christians have taken the lead in local village projects and community action groups. And that's going to be especially true as restrictions are eased. So as we come out of lockdown, I think there are three priorities. The Lord's saying three things to his church. First of all, don't give up. Hold on to Jesus and to his cross. Secondly, make sure that we're online, because the businesses and groups that thrive are the ones that connect with people online. And thirdly, reach out to our neighbours and our local community. Amen.